28 this morning. So Acts chapter 28, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 10. So Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. Father, we do thank you this morning just for the goodness that you do bestow upon us every day, Father, just your love, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, another day to live, another day to walk with you, another day to fellowship among believers, and to be able to sing praises unto your name, and to sit at your feet and to listen, Lord, for what you have for us today. I do pray that you would guide us through the scriptures. I pray the Holy Spirit would teach us what we need to learn, remind us of the truths and promises of your word and your faithfulness. I pray, Lord, that you would help us. I know probably all of us are familiar with the text this morning and this moment in Paul's life. He's on this island and just the event that takes place. But, Lord, help us to listen intently as we know that you have something for us today, as we know that you want to speak to us. And, Father, we ask that you would help us to be focused on you. Would you draw our attention to you? I pray, Father, that you would just fill my mouth with the words to speak. Guide all of us, Lord, according to your will, that we would be drawn closer to you. We would be conformed more to the image of Christ. And Father, that we would lay aside any weights or sin that's easily besetting us and keeping us from moving forward in our walk with you. As, Lord, you're always warning us to move forward. You're always warning us to get closer to you and to become more like Christ. So, Father, would you help us today to be able to do that? And, Father, we do want Christ to be lifted up, not just in the service, but in our lives. We want you to be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, we're all familiar with this passage of Scripture and in Paul's life where he ends up being bitten by a venomous snake, and yet he doesn't die. He lives. And because of that testimony, because of God using this moment in Paul's life, others on the island are helped in great ways. Some are delivered from diseases and sicknesses. Some will be delivered from demon possession and so forth. But one thing I want us to be reminded of today is the fact that Paul made a choice. Remember, the last two Sundays, we've kind of been talking about having the blessing of God upon our life, and it takes something on our part to receive the blessings of God in our life. I'm wondering, we got to believe, we got to have faith, but I think there are times where we have to shake off whatever it is that wants to latch on to us and suck the joy out of us and rob us of the joy of the Lord and cause us to become, you know, really fed up with the Christian life and fed up with the world. when God has so much he wants to show us and so much he has to offer us, and not just us, but through us to other people, because there are people watching. We'll break it down here in a minute, but you already know that these barbarians on this island, they saw what happened to Paul, and immediately they cast in their mind, he's a murderer. Though he escaped the sea, yet vengeance has taken hold. Everybody's got their opinion of you, right? But then when the barbarians didn't see anything, when he should have swollen, he should have been foaming at the mouth. I mean, he should have just fell over dead at some point, and he didn't. Then they changed their mind. Well, he must be a god, right? People are so fickle in their thinking. They change their minds so ridiculous, just like the wind. But you know what? You and I should never change our mind on the faithfulness of God. Now, Paul had just escaped the sea. Remember, the ship did not gently come to shore and then they all just walked the plank and get off onto the shore. Remember, they had been in a storm for 14 days. Everybody had lost hope except for Paul, because Paul was fasting and spending time with the Lord, and he was able to come back on the deck and encourage all the men of the ship that, look, there's not going to be one life lost, because God spoke to me tonight by his angel that I must go to Rome. But first he had to make a pit stop, make a detour to this island, because God wanted Paul to minister to these people. So Paul had the faith that, all right, we're in the storm, but, God's in control. And God had already told Paul before the storm, before he even got on the boat as a prisoner, that he must go to Rome. He must testify in Rome of Jesus Christ. So Paul wasn't worried, all right? But there are times in our life where the snake wants to bite us. And remember who the snake is, the devil. Wants to bite us, wants to inject his poison into your veins to cause you and to cause me to stop believing that God can, that God is faithful, and that God will see me through it. Again, many applications that we could apply this time in Paul's life to, but I just want us to be reminded that we have to shake off whatever it is that's trying to latch on to us, whether it's fear, whether it's doubt, whether you're fed up, whatever it may be. Again, the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He cannot take your salvation away, but man, can he take your joy away? Can he take your confidence away, your confidence in Christ? And he can just rob you of the joy of the Lord, and we've got to be like Paul and shake it off and not allow it to affect us. Trials come in waves. Sometimes they come right after another, like in Job's life. Again, Paul, he just got done swimming to shore. Now, again, he's a prisoner. He just got done swimming to shore. The barbarians are the one that made the fire and received them because of the present cold and because it was winter time. But Paul's the one going out ministering. He's gathering the sticks. He's trying to keep the fire going. And when he does, man, a venomous viper comes out of the heat. Just as he throws the sticks in, obviously the venomous viper jumps out, latches on his hand. Look, there's just times, and we'll get to this, because there's five things I want us to remember about shaking off the adversities that we'll face at different times. But just think about this. Paul was stranded. There are times in your life, in my life, we feel like we're stranded. We feel like we're not going anywhere. Nothing's changing. Nothing's getting better, right? But Paul made the best of it because he still trusted God. Somebody once said, through the power of God, we can shake off the challenges that are allowed in our life. Through the power of God, we can shake off the challenges that are allowed in our life. There's sometimes we find ourselves stranded, as Paul was stranded, with no escape whatsoever. He was a prisoner, and he wasn't going to leave that island, and he wasn't going to leave the company of the Roman guards, Roman soldiers that had been placed over him to safely take him to Rome. There's just times we feel like we're stranded in life. We feel like we are a prisoner. And there's times where we get wounded in life. Paul, again, was bitten by a poisonous snake. But yet, again, people do things they want to destroy you. Again, the devil wants to destroy you, but he can't unless we allow him to. Again, Paul chose not to. Sometimes people just brand you too. They say things about you. I mean, we live in a very wicked world. We live in an antichrist world, right? I mean, nobody outside the family of God is a lover of God. There's just people that just, they hate Christians. They just want to get rid of Christians. Even though, you know, when the rapture happens, I think a lot of people are going to, you know, there's going to be chaos. People are going to be wondering, like, where'd everybody go? But then there's going to be those that are finally, the Christians are gone. We don't have to listen to them anymore. We don't have to listen, you know, to them tell us, you know, our lifestyle is wrong. People are going to be rejoicing when we're gone. But listen, Paul shook off the adversity. And there's five things I want us to think about in order to shake off the adversities that we face in life. But it starts with believing that when you have to wait on God, God will strengthen you. Paul's trusting in God. He's waiting on God, right? And he's able to shake off the adversity because he believes what God already told him. And God already told him, you must go to Rome. So guess what? Anything that happens along the way, he's not going to view it as, oh man, why is God being so mean to me? Why is God just hitting me over the head with a 2x4? That's what the devil wants us to think. Where are you headed to today? Where's your life headed? If you're a child of God, if you're a born-again believer, it's headed to heaven. But guess what happens along this journey? Things that we'd rather not happen, things we'd rather not face. But who is walking with us on this journey? The Lord Jesus Christ is walking with us. Remember, he said, take my yoke upon you. We're walking with him. We're walking in stride with the Lord as we keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. But we do have to remind ourselves, there's times where, you know what, we have to wait on the Lord. And the devil wants us to feel stranded. The devil wants us to feel deserted. The devil wants us to feel like God doesn't care. God has forgotten about us. But there are times where we do have to wait. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God promises that if we wait on him, he gives us the strength to endure. Listen, did Paul know when and how he was going to get off the island? No. And that's why I went on and read verse 11 of Acts chapter 28, because it says after 3 months. He's on the island for 3 months. Sometimes we're stuck in life for a certain period of time, and it's because that's what God wants. I mean, if you know without a shadow of a doubt you're not living in sin, you're not resisting God, you're not rebelling against God, then it might just be God has you in a place for a certain amount of time because he wants us to continue learning to wait on him, to continue learning to trust him, to rely upon him, to wait on him. And as we wait, God does want to strengthen us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The only way Paul was able to get to the end of his race and write in a letter to Timothy, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. The only reason he was able to write that from a prison cell was because he kept relying on the power of God in his life. Remember, he prayed for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. How often do we pray for God to change something and he doesn't change it? And we get mad and we get upset. And God, you said, if I ask believing, then you will do it. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. He said that it would be done. And you haven't done it because God knows what's best. But what was it that Paul said he'd rather have than the thorn in the flesh or the infirmities be removed out of his life, the power of God. He said, I'd rather have the power of Christ upon my life, because Paul knew he had a life to live for the Lord. He had a journey that he had to walk with the Lord, and it was only going to be by the power of God that he finishes that course. And as Paul is on the island of Melita, and he's trying to serve, and he's trying to keep the fire going, man, it just seems like every good thing Paul does, sometimes he's met with evilness, he's met with wickedness, he's met with some type of opposition, putting in some wood into the fire, and out comes a venomous snake. But the devil's always there to try to latch on and to inject some poison in the minds of God's people. He does it through music. He does it through social media. He does it through any avenue that he can, because he wants to destroy the faith of God's people. He wants the young people not to trust Christ and not to walk with the Lord. Now, I can't save anybody, but the best that I can do and the best you can do is be a good example of the believer. It's totally up to them, right? But if they see us, and I say us as in God's people, not just in this room, but all around the world, if they see us like Paul, really serving the Lord, really having faith and walking with the Lord, the people will be drawn to Christ. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But how can we give an answer to them that ask of the hope that lies within us if we don't truly believe it? Again, Paul is on the ship with over 200 other prisoners with the sailors and the shipmaster. He's the only one that didn't lose hope. The Bible says they all lost hope. But not Paul. In fact, one man was able to encourage over 200 men to eat some food. They hadn't eaten in 14 days. And Paul was able to encourage them, hey, take some meat. Let's eat, because we're going to have to swim to shore and you need some strength. And guess what? They did. They trusted what Paul said because they saw something in Paul. They probably just felt the power of God upon Paul's life. They said, something's different. Because remember, before, the shipmaster and the centurion that was put in charge of Paul didn't believe Paul, and Paul said, I perceive there's going to be much damage and hurt with this voyage. And they believed the shipmaster instead of Paul, but now they're believing what Paul says, right? Because Paul said, you should have believed me. I told you this was going to happen, but nonetheless, no one's going to die. Listen, shake it off. What is it that's bothering you today? What is it that maybe bothered you last week? Something's going to bother you this week. We have to be prepared to shake it off. I was bothered this morning. Excuse me. I was in a bad way this morning. I was not happy. I was talking to the Lord and I was not happy. But then I had to get over it. I had to shake it off and say, you know what? It's the Lord's day. Doesn't matter what I'm bothered about. It's the Lord's day and he deserves to be worshiped. He deserves to have all my heart. He deserves to have my thoughts. Because the devil had just planted a thought in my head and I kind of ran with it. And sometimes we do that. Well, I'll fight the devil tooth and nail. But then you know what? A thought comes and we just kind of go with that thought, and that thought just affects us, right? Again, Paul gives us just a great example. The fact is that, you know what, we're going to be stranded at different times where we think, you know, we should be, you know, spiritually somewhere else or physically somewhere else. We're going to be wounded in life by words that people say, sometimes by actions. People will brand you and me different ways. They said of Paul, oh, he's a murderer. They kind of were right. They didn't even know Paul, but he was a murderer before he got saved. Sometimes people like to bring up your past because they want to hurt you. They want to remind you, well, you're not as perfect as me because you, right? But even if someone does remember our past, they should see, no, I'm not God, but I've been with Christ. something's different. Isn't that what they said of Peter? Ignorant fishermen, but they took knowledge they had been with Christ. But we all face different adversities in life. I can't possibly name every adversity that we all face. You know the ones that you have faced and are facing and you might face going forward. But how do we do what Paul did? How do we shake it off and not allow it to affect us so that we have a testimony that changes the minds of people? Doesn't mean they're going to get saved, but it changes their mind that, oh, you know what? They're different than the other people. Because they see a testimony. They see a testimony of a life that's being changed by the power of God. And that's what Paul wanted. And Paul relied upon the power of Christ, not knowing how long he'd be on the island. But you know what? However long I'm here, I'm going to let God conquer what he wants to conquer through me. I'm just going to be that willing vessel. The first thing that we have to do to shake off the adversities that we face in life is trust God's word. It always starts with trusting God's word. Trusting God's word. Trusting God's word. Well, I don't believe that. When was the last time you read your Bible? That will determine if you trust God and if your life is being blessed. Because God's word gives wisdom. The entrance to God's word gives light. It gives understanding. It gives wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. God is very merciful. When somebody who is lost and not saved say, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. As someone who is seeking God, as someone who wants to know the truth, God's not afraid to do something to show that person that, hey, he's real. But when a child of God uses that same phrase, God does not act upon that. Because you're a child of God. You've already put your faith and trust in Christ. Why do I need to say, God, if you love me, you'll do this for me? He's revealed himself in his word and by his spirit. There's things in your life and my life that we're not happy about, that we don't like. But we still have a God in heaven who wants to do miracles in your life and my life in the place that you're at. We have to shake off the adversity. Again, the devil wants to sink his teeth into you and me, and he wants to inject his poison. I mention it probably every Sunday. What was questioned in the Garden of Eden? The devil did not come to Eve and question Adam's love for her. The devil did not go to Adam and question Eve's faithfulness to him or her submissiveness to him. The devil questioned God's word. Yea, hath God said. God's word has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. His word never changes. And in order for us to shake off that adversity and not allow it to affect us, we truly have to trust God's word. Paul believed what God said. You must go to Rome. Well, he wasn't in Rome yet, so you know what? Poisonous snake or no poisonous snake, it's not going to affect me because God has promised me something. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It is amazing. It's sad. But a lot of Christians walk away from God because they didn't get what they wanted. God didn't do what they wanted God to do. And they walk away. They stop, well, you know what? God didn't answer my prayer. God didn't do this for me. And one of the taxes of the devil is always the death of a loved one. Someone's praying, God, if you're real, just save my relative, you know, keep them alive, don't let them die. And when that loved one dies, the devil uses that, and that person rejects, well, God's not real because he didn't answer my prayer. I just want us to think and be reminded that, listen, if I don't love God's word, if I don't follow God's word, if it's not a part of my life, I cannot expect blessings in my life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Because you know what? We acknowledge God by acknowledging his word. His word. So Paul, he shook off the venomous snake. It did not affect him because he trusted what God had already told him. His focus was not going to be changed. Number two, we need to keep going. We need to keep going. Shake off the adversity by trusting God's word and keep going in the direction he already told you. I'm glad that I'm not Noah. I'm glad I wasn't Noah. I'm glad I didn't have the responsibility of building the ark. And for 120 years, I had to build the ark, preach the message of righteousness and judgment. Are you kidding? I don't even want to live 120 years. But can you imagine having that responsibility? Here's your one job, build this ark. 120 years. Now, hindsight's always 20/20. I'm sure on the day they were entering the ark, Moses, that wasn't too bad. Yep, it's finished, right? But from day one up to day 119, you can't tell me that people were not hiding his tools, damaging the ark, doing things to keep it from being finished, because that's the way the devil works. And we just have a small glimpse of Noah's life, but apparently he believed what God said, and that's what motivated him. That's what kept him going. That's what helped him to finish the project. And aren't you glad that he did, because he was blessed by being on the inside of a finished ark when the rain descended and the floods came? I'm just saying that you got to keep going when you face adversity. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What things? Your mistakes, your failures, and other people who have done you wrong. Those three things the devil uses in a person's life to keep them back, to keep them from moving forward in their life, to keep them from having victory in their life, to keep them from getting closer to the Lord. We're sinners saved by grace. You're going to make mistakes, but look, Paul even talked about his struggle, the things I would do, I don't, the things I don't want to do, I do. He's saying I'm human, right? Everyone has their struggles. I don't know. Did Paul contemplate not going back into Lystra after he was dragged out, stoned, and left for dead? And then decide, you know what, I'm not giving the devil any victory here, and go right back into the city. It didn't leave till the next day. He's human. I'm sure the thoughts maybe came to his mind like, eh, just go to the next town. But how often do we give the devil victory by not standing our ground with Christ? Look at Ephesians chapter 6, if you would, real quick. Ephesians chapter 6. Again, you already know we're in a spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6 reminds us that, the spiritual battle that we're in. But verse number 13, verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Standing on your faith. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the victory that you have in Christ. Paul was not going to be shaken in his faith, and he wasn't going to let some snake keep him from trusting God and moving forward. So again, as he says in Philippians 3, All right, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had to forget, you know what? His past. Now, it doesn't say. I mean, they cast in their mind when, they said, when the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. I wonder if Paul heard that. Paul heard what they said. And once the devil jumped up on his shoulder, yeah, you are a murderer. Remember what you used to do to the Christians? You don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve the love of God. But Paul shook it off. You know how I know he shook it off? He finished his course. He didn't follow the ways of Demas, who forsook the things of God and went to Thessalonica, loving this present world. So when you think about Paul, and you think about how he just shook off, yes, he shook off a physical snake, but he had to shake off the spiritual snake too. And that's an everyday occurrence. Not giving the devil place in our life, but resisting the devil and drawing nigh unto the Lord. Listen, he trusted God's word, right? He trusted God's word. He kept going. He didn't let failures. I mean, confess your sin. God's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, right? Lord, I messed up. I'm just being honest. I'm human. All right? I had to tell the Lord I was sorry this morning. Because like I said, I was starting to get a bad attitude and just, you know, having a pity party with the Lord about some things. And the Lord, you know, talked with me and I'm glad he didn't hit me up the side of the head with a 2x4. I know there's preachers that say that, but I'm glad he's more gracious with me because he would knock me into the next century if he hit me upside the head with a 2x4. I'm just saying that we have to learn to shake some things off. Well, Paul, he kept right on serving. He kept doing what was right. He kept doing what was right. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. He could have threw the sticks down and said, forget this. Some other prisoner can do this. Right? Because, you know what? He tried doing something nice. He tried being helpful, and it got him bitten by a snake. But he kept right on serving. And we have to keep right on doing what's right no matter what happens in life because, again, let's be reminded, if I'm not giving God the glory, the devil's getting it. The devil's getting it. Whether I say it, whether I do something, the devil's getting the glory if God's not, because God is supposed to get the glory from the life that's been redeemed. And guess what? Man, the devil gets the glory when God's people don't read his word and don't trust it and don't believe it. And don't follow it. Because that's what he attacked. And he continues to attack that. Listen, God's word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You can't live life without this. I mean, I know messages go for like an hour, but honestly, I could just read that one verse, you know, in Psalm 119, verse 105. Close the Bible and be done with the service. Because God's word speaks volumes. His word is powerful. It's quicker and sharper than a two-edged sword. But Paul, he shook off the adversities by serving others. He kept doing the right thing. And not only that, but listen, the Lord will protect you, right? The Lord will protect you just as he protected Paul. Because it says, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while, Because guess what? If somebody knows you're a Christian, they know that you're trusting Christ, they know that you believe God and believe the things the Bible says, they're going to watch you. They're going to criticize and scrutinize everything you do. This is my pastor used to tell me, you know, being a fish in a fishbowl and everyone can see you. Everybody's watching what you do, right? Why? Because you have the mockers that want to mock. See? But again, Paul didn't give them anything to mock about. In fact, because nothing happened, because Paul kept right on serving, because Paul didn't even change his mannerism, and then they think, wow, he's a god. Because it is our testimony that helps people to change their thinking. But regardless of someone, what they think, we are to do things heartily as unto the Lord. But knowing that God protects us, right? The Lord in Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. You know what? I can shake off the adversities because I know that God's my helper. I know that he is my protector. He is my shield. He is the strength, right? The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Paul was helped because he continued trusting in God's provisions and God's sovereignty, right? Last thing I want you to think about is the fact that God is in control. No matter where we're stranded at in life, God's in control. No matter what's going on, whatever it is, God is in control. The Bible reminds us in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. If there's a condition, if we faint not. If we quit on God, we can't expect blessings. I'm not talking about not going to heaven. That can't be taken away from you. That's a free gift from God. He doesn't take it away. But there are blessings that God wants to bestow upon us every day. And we're told, be not weary in well-doing. Don't allow yourself to get tired of doing the right thing, following the Lord, trusting the Lord. You hit oppositions, you hit brick walls, right? Resistance, the devil, you know, does things at different times because God allows him to, because he wants our faith to be tested. He wants our faith to be stretched. He wants our faith to be built, right? To be built stronger. But if we faint not, God's in control. When you read through Paul's life, God doesn't keep telling Paul, you must go to Rome. You must go to Rome. He said it once. In the life of Noah, we only see in Scripture God telling him once to build the ark. And then the next time we see God speaking to Noah is when God says, okay, it's time to get in the ark. And we assume that God only talked to him twice. It could be. But what if God told you something today and then didn't tell you again? Would you keep doing it? Or because God doesn't keep reminding you, would you stop doing it? I mean, let's face it, as parents, when we say it once, we expect the kids to do it. But every day we have to remind them, right? Clean your room, brush your teeth, make your bed. You know, you got to remind them, don't do this, right? But think about God. He's given us his word to remind us every day. There's just things that we have to shake off. There's things in your life the devil's using to keep the blessings of God out of your life. Are you allowing him to do that? Are you allowing the devil to keep you from having the blessings of God in your life? Remember, through the power of God, we can shake off the challenges that are allowed in our lives. We all have challenges, but we're not to give place to the devil. We're to resist the devil. And the Bible says we're to cleave unto the Lord. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's something Paul said because Paul had learned by experience. I'm strengthened through Christ. I can endure, I can overcome, I can conquer through the power of Christ. Paul also said in Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering. That's what the verse says. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Are you kidding? I'm supposed to be joyful while I'm suffering long and patiently waiting for the deliverance of the Lord? Yes. Do we do it? No. At least not without the Lord's help. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Again, when you look at Paul, Paul was an ordinary man. I believe a picture of just the ordinary Christian trying to live their life for the Lord, trying to do what God's called them to do. And the only way that you can keep serving after being snake bitten is to have the joy of the Lord in your heart. And then Paul says finally in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The only way to shake off the adversities that you face in your daily life is through the power of Christ. Is just remembering, you know what? I'm going to go to the source of joy and the source of life. I'm going to go to God's word. I'm going to cleanse my mind of all the negative thoughts that I have. I'm going to allow it to cleanse my heart. Because you understand, whatever goes in has got to come out. Whatever goes in has to come out. Whatever we're watching, whatever we're listening to, it's going to come out in your life. I would rather have Christ come out in my life. You know what that means? I got to read his word more. I have to allow the Holy Spirit to apply it to my life. I have to walk in the steps of the Savior. I've got to do like Paul. Paul said, be a follower of me as I am of Christ. Right? He said, follow me as I follow the Lord. So again, listen. Shake it off. And there may not, this, you might be thinking, Pastor, there's nothing I need to shake off right now. Oh, you just wait. Because we're human. And there's a bullseye on your back. There's a bullseye on your back. Can't see it, but the devil sees it. That's why Ephesians chapter 6 tells us about his fiery darts. Tells us about the fact that he does. He wants to destroy. Listen. How much do we care about our relationship with Christ? That's the relationship he wants to destroy. Because if he can destroy that relationship, all our earthly relationships will fall apart. Because it's the relationship with Christ that matters the most. Paul was not about to let anything keep him from accomplishing God's will for his life. He wasn't going to allow anything to keep him from finishing his course, the course that Christ had put him on. Remember, he was changed on the road to Damascus. He was on the road to destruction. But Jesus met him on that road, turned his life around, changed him, made him a new creature, but also called him to a hard ministry that he had to fulfill through Christ. Again, I look in Scripture. I'm glad I'm not a lot of the people in Scripture. But I do want to be like Christ. I do want to have his peace, his power, and his victory in my life. I want him to be glorified. I want to be able to stand before him one day and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to have more than one crown to throw at his feet. Sometimes we don't think about that, but you realize this life we're living, we're supposed to be gathering up crowns along the way so that when we get to heaven, we have something to cast at his feet. Some people are okay with having some shingles on their mansion. But we really should desire, you know what? Christ has changed my life so much. I want to show him how much I appreciate him, how much I love him. So, Lord, will you help me to live this life for your honor and for your glory? No matter what happens, shake it off and let God be the power in your life that helps you to be that shining testimony that brings glory to him, and it helps others as well. Didn't even finish it, but when you read the rest of that chapter, because they saw Paul, okay, the barbarians saw him as a god, but guess what? It opened up the door for Paul to minister to those barbarians, to minister to the father of the chief of the island who was dying, and to minister to other people for 3 months. So lives were changed because Paul did not allow adversity to cause him to stop doing God's will. That's one thing that we have to ask God to help us to be reminded of every day. Lord, I don't know who my life is going to affect, but Lord, help me to affect that life in a good way that they see you, that they're drawn to you and not, you know, pushed away from you because I'm not being that Christ-like testimony. That's the key. That is the focus that we all are to have. It's Christ. We have our doubts at times. John sent two disciples to Jesus and said, go ask if he truly is the one, or do we look for another? Because things weren't playing out. I mean, yeah, John the Baptist had a great ministry. People, you know, coming, getting baptized, turning their life around, right? But he gets thrown in prison. He's like, wait a minute. After he baptized Jesus, after saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days and John the Baptist goes into prison. Well, wait a minute. I thought when Jesus came into my life, everything would be just peachy and full of roses. And John had his moment, but Jesus, he had those disciples, those two disciples, just watch him for the day. Watch him heal people, listen to what he was preaching, and they said, okay, now go tell John the things you heard, the things you've seen, and not to be offended. And then John, he makes those words. He says those words, I must decrease, but he must increase. It's all about Christ. Let's never forget, our life is about Christ. Are we exalting him as we should? If not, Lord, help us to. Help us to lift Christ up in our life so that we're helped and you're glorified.